For a moment, you are the Lord or the Lady of Stoke Bishop Manor. None of these houses exist. It's all your land. You have a huge mansion placed up on a hill in Tudor times, and you are the Lord or the Lady. In fact, it's a normal Sunday evening, and you are dressed in your crushed red velvet finery, enjoying a nice cup of mead, maybe, Tudor times. There's a roaring fire happening and the suckling pig rotating on it. Just a normal Sunday evening. You're enjoying it. Yeah, in fact, you're actually sitting at a whole banqueting table. And you have these weird Tudor foods on there. So maybe some rustic breads and cheeses, fruits from a long ways off. Maybe you have something like a rabbit stuffed inside of a boar, stuffed inside of a pheasant, stuffed inside of a peacock. I don't know what they ate. Weird stuff like that. Jellied eels and things. This is your reality, and you're loving it. You are the Lord and Lady of Stoke Bishop Manor. But just as you're enjoying your normal evening, the door bursts open, and someone comes in holding a scroll. And you can tell they are disheveled, and they've been riding a long ways. And they come in and they place the scroll before you. And you turn it over and you see that there's a seal on that scroll. That there's been wax dripped on it and a signet ring has been pressed into it. And you see by this seal that this is intricate. And you know that this is the seal of the king. This is an important document. It's authentic. No fake news. This is real, and you know it because it's been pressed in. Do you know these signet rings are really important in British history? And that we don't have a lot of them because when a king or someone of importance would die, they were destroyed. Because they were meant to represent that one person. And what you didn't want is a whole bunch of these rings floating around. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at some signet rings. Some ways that we can authenticate and think about Jesus and his resurrection. The ways that we can stretch our mind to say, did he really raise from the dead? So we're going to look at four of these. We're going to look at four of these authentications of Jesus' resurrection. So the first one of the four, the first authentication seal, is that it was a unique claim that Jesus had. A unique claim. So a couple years ago, I got to go to Jerusalem, and it's amazing. Who here has ever got to travel to Jerusalem? Some of you, right? I feel like it was literally like stepping back into Jesus' time with these beautiful kind of sand-colored stones everywhere in the cobbled streets. When I was there, it felt like there is this kind of hustle and bustle that there would have been in Jesus' time at maybe a Passover. The city still feels full and heaving as you walk around these streets. So it's no wonder that in Jerusalem, even today, there's a serious problem called Jerusalem Syndrome or Savior Complex. So people go to Jerusalem and they kind of hang out there for a bit, and it's not long before they go, perhaps I am the Christ. And it's a normal thing. It happens all the time in Jerusalem. In fact, in Jesus' time, there were loads of people that thought they were the Messiah. Jesus wasn't alone in that claim. N.T. Wright says it this way. We know of about a dozen or more messianic or would-be messianic movements around the time of Jesus. And we have no indication that any of them said anything at all about their leaders being still around after their death. Even in Jesus' time, there was loads of people saying, I am the Messiah, but none of them made the claim that they would be raised from the dead. And none of their followers made the claim of resurrection. You see, nowhere in the culture of that time was resurrection a part or an expectation of what would happen. Simply to make the claim of resurrection is like throwing the rule book out. Nobody saw it coming. Resurrection? What? I'll tell you why I think there was not a lot of resurrection claims. Because that's really difficult to prove. If I'm setting myself up as the Messiah, saying that I'm going to be raised from the dead, that's a tricky one, isn't it? Because you kind of have to like prove that. Yeah? So our first deal is that there is a unique claim of resurrection. So if it's a tricky one and you need to kind of prove it, maybe that's our second seal. Our second seal is that Jesus appears to many. So who here believes that Elvis is still alive? Come on, some of you must be Elvis fans. You've heard about it, right? We've talked about it. Or maybe you're like, Elvis, what are you talking about? Who here knows that Tupac is still alive? Anybody? Yeah, there's a couple. Tupac, come on, that's more recent. We even have heard about these famous people kind of coming back to life and being alive. Now, I've heard the tales. I've seen the weird websites that they believe that these people have come back. But I don't believe it. And I'll tell you why. Because I've not seen them. Surely Elvis or Tupac, by this time, if they were alive, would have done a coming back from the grave tour and made a load of money selling their CDs and being like, resurrection tour, come and see it. But they haven't. There's no evidence of it. But there is evidence of it for Jesus. Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians. He says, speaking of Jesus, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. So what Paul is saying is that Jesus had appeared to over 500 people. Over 500 people. Not just the followers of Jesus, the inner core in the upper room. Over 500 different people. Tim Keller says that Paul is making an audacious claim. What he says is that Paul is claiming that the reports of the resurrection he conveys were taken intact from the mouths of people who actually saw Jesus. Let's see what's happening here. So Paul the Apostle is saying, I have gone and done the legwork on this. I've gone and talked to actual people and loads of them, and I've verified the accounts of Jesus living. And not only have I verified the accounts of his resurrection, these people are still alive at the time that I write this letter. And I encourage you to go speak to them as well. Now that is a bold claim if this isn't true, right? It's one thing to say, Elvis is alive. Not many people have seen him. It's another thing to say, Jesus is alive and he's at Stoke Bishop and go talk to them. They're alive today and they've seen him, right? That's a much more tricky claim to make. So maybe these are two seals of authenticity first, that there is a unique claim and that Jesus appeared to many people. So here's the third seal that we want to look at and think about, is that Jesus has a physical proof as well. Now we're going to talk about resurrection and really think about it. We have to believe that Jesus was 100% dead and 100% risen from the dead. Nothing in between, right? So we think first of this death. Christ was on a cross, which is a Roman crucifixion technique, Roman torture technique. In fact, the cross and the crucifixion was so intense that authors didn't usually write about it in the ancient world because it was like writing down something so vile, so difficult to look at that they couldn't put it in words. You don't just kind of go to a Roman crucifixion and walk away from it. In fact, they have in the Bible saying that they speared his side and blood and water came out. Medically, that would be evidence that he has died. So we have this death. But even more than that, it wasn't they just put him on a slab and kind of pushed him in the morgue. You've got his followers taking his body and preparing it for burial. To actually putting it and preparing it, if he is actually kind of dead, they would have known it. They would have felt his warmth of his body. They would have seen that he was still alive. But they didn't do that. They put him completely in a tomb, completely prepared for death. Jesus is 100% dead. Now, let's just say hypothetically, and I don't want to be irreverent here, but let's say you come back to life, okay? You die, and next thing you know, you wake up, South Mead Hospital, on a table, you're like, oh my word, I've just been resurrected. What do you do, right? Well, first of all, you get dressed because, well, yeah, you would. And then, what do you do? What would you do? Anybody? What would be the first thing you do if you raised from the dead? I'll tell you what I would do. I'd go see people, right? I would talk to people. The first thing I would do is be like, in a non-scary way, hopefully, I wouldn't jump out from the bushes, but I'd be like, hi, remember me? I'm John, I'm still here, yeah? I would talk to people. And then they would be kind of freaked out. I would say, come here, look, touch me. Look at me, I'm not some sort of weird apparition or ghost. I'm not some sort of kind of mystical trick of your imagination. I'm a physical person, like, come, touch me. And then maybe I'd have a third verification. I'd say, give me some food, let me eat it. I'll prove to you that I'm regular alive, I have regular and normal needs. These would be like the proofs that you would do. In the Bible, we see Jesus doing the same thing. In Luke's account, he writes, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you, which is essentially, hi, I'm Jesus. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out and put your hands into my side. Stop doubting and believe. This isn't some imitator. He's got the marks to prove it. This is crucified Christ. And then he says later on, he says, do you have anything to eat? And they gave him broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Now, in the ancient world, these things would have been verification. This is a true story. So what do we have here? We've got three proofs that we've looked at. This unique claim of a miraculous resurrection that's unique just to Jesus. A second we have that he's appeared to many people in that time, and the people were still alive when it was written about. And thirdly, we have a very physical death and a fully physical resurrection. And maybe these are some proofs that we need. But we also don't just think about Jesus' resurrection in physical terms. We don't just come to it by doing kind of mental assent, though that's important. There's also an element of faith that we engage with. Paul writes about it in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Paul is saying there's something more going on here. That Christ is not only alive, but he's with me. And that is the essential claim of Christianity. And here's why. If the resurrection didn't actually happen, and if the resurrection, if we read it as just a moral teaching, like Jesus rose from the dead, and what that means is that his ideas rose from the dead, and that his ideas continue with us. What we have here at this gathering, then, is not actual Jesus, but just some ideas. In fact, what we actually have here is just a metaphor. And if you think about that line of reasoning, then all that we have to offer is kind of us as nice people who follow some teachings in a book. We're no different than those weirdos who love Lord of the Rings and talk about it all the time, of which I'm one. Do you know? Like, that's all we are. We're just passionate about something in a book. It's just a bit of a moral code. But if Jesus is truly and really raised from the dead, it changes everything. Not only does Jesus defeat death, showing that he is God, his presence is now with us as well. And we become something different than just moral believers. Because if that's the case, if we're just teaching ourselves, we don't carry that signet ring of the authentication of Jesus. But when we have Jesus in our lives, like Paul did, my life, I now live by faith in God. When I take my life and I gather my life around Christ, I begin to carry the authentication of Christ in my life. We all do. And if all of us carry that authentication of Christ, means that when we come here today, we come here into St. Mary's, we gather not around really nice ideas and niceties. We don't gather around nice Stoke Bishop values. We gather around Christ, risen Christ, transformative Christ, Christ alive in our midst. And that, for all of us, is the adventure. That we get to carry the authentication of Christ in our lives and in our spheres of influence. Why is that the adventure? Because it means that the transformation of the nature of Christ who beat death, beats death in our life as well. The Christ who did miracles and taught with wisdom is in us as well. The Christ who can forgive sin and change and help in broken and difficult situations is alive in our lives as well. That's the beauty of what we're talking about. The authentication of Christ in our midst. Oh, that's what I want. Do you want that as well? What are we playing at unless it's about Jesus? Because this is a boring club. I've said that before. Like, we could go to better clubs if it's just about moral teaching. But man, if it's about Jesus alive in our midst, this whole thing changes. This gets really exciting. I don't think we have to worry about declining numbers. I think we get to encounter Jesus and share that around. I think we'll grow. I don't think we have to just believe that, I don't know, we're kind of subject to living in a kind of amoral culture and we don't know what to say. Man, if we carry the authentic image of Jesus in us, we're going to have loads of influence because we're going to carry Jesus wherever we go. It changes the whole game. Is that exciting to you? Exciting to me as well. That's what this is about, yeah? So I want to give us an opportunity here, and I'm just going to lead us in some prayer where we get to re-welcome and reawaken ourselves to Christ. In planning this, I realized how easy it is for me to just kind of get into the idea of Jesus rather than encountering Jesus. Yeah? And we always need to be reawakened to Christ himself, not just the idea. So let's close your eyes. Christ, here we are. You are here. You are alive now. Not just a remembrance of you, but you are alive. We welcome you into our lives. We welcome you into our church. Maybe you're here today and you've never encountered the risen Christ. Today's your day. Good news, Jesus is alive and he loves you and he wants to be with you. Christ, we welcome you now. Be in our worship. Christ, we give you reign and rule. We give you St. Mary's Church. That this gathering wouldn't be just about nice things. Oh, but put us on that adventure of following you, Christ. Let us go on that exciting journey of walking with Christ. Christ, to you be all glory and power now and forever in our lives and in our church. We love you and we honor you and we follow you as the one who beat death and rose again. Praise be to your name. Amen.